We're talking today with Dr. Tanya Amon, who's with the American Angus Association of Angus Genetics. And Tanya, let's talk a little bit about here at this boot camp. You're talking about some of the, I think one of the titles of one of your presentations, the kind of the new horizon for genetics for cattle producers, Angus breeders included. It seems like we really are starting to move faster and faster on a lot of this information we've got available to us.
Well, I think that's certainly true in the cattle industry. We're seeing that. It's sort of a microcosm of what we see in the world in general. But I would say probably one of the newest, most exciting tools that's allowing us to move that direction is just the advent of genomic technology and the rate at which that technology is improving and changing has really, really helped the way and the rate at which we can make changes in cattle to meet our new demands.
You talked about the GEEPD, and the extra element there is that genomic information on top of the kind of the baseline of all the traditional EPD information. Why is that useful to the cattle industry?
Sure. It's very useful to the cattle industry because it allows us to characterize animals much earlier in life for the traditional traits. It allows us to do a better job of characterizing animals for those traits that are really difficult or expensive or time-consuming to measure. I'm thinking things like individual feed intake, like the carcass traits, speeding up the rate at which we can really learn about which of our bulls are more maternal bulls and things like that.
So for that producer, they have some understanding of an EPD. What's the additional learning curve when you start adding the genetic element?
Yeah, really there isn't one. If you know how to use an EPD, you can use genomically enhanced EPDs. We haven't changed the system at all. We've just added a new component that adds some accuracy to that number earlier in the animal's life and for a broader swath of traits than we've been able to do before. Use the EPD. That's all you have to know.
You talked this morning about accuracy and the fact that there are differences as far as when you start looking between maybe various sires that you're considering.
Sure. So accuracy, if you want to think about it, just tells you how much risk is involved in using that particular EPD. How much is it likely to move in the future? On our younger animals, there's not as much accuracy. We don't know as much about them. There's more information to learn. And they have a bigger chance to move as we learn more information about them compared to some of our old reliable AI bulls. We've got them pegged. We know what they are. There's not any risk in their number at all.
So when you start talking about accuracy, that the higher the accuracy score, the more we can be confident in what we see.
Correct. The higher the accuracy score, the lower amount of risk associated with that animal, the less doubt there is in what they're capable of doing.
Now we've had EPDs around for quite a few years, but we seem like we're adding new traits almost all the time.
That's true. Early on, we got the easy ones done first. Things like the growth traits, where data is pretty easy to collect. The traits moderately heritable, so we can make good progress in those traits. Mm-hmm. And as time has gone on, we start tackling the ones that are a little harder. We started adding carcass traits, and how does ultrasound data relate to that? And now we've done a good job with those, and we're getting into the area where we start looking at the reproductive traits. They're lowly heritable. So traditionally, we've tried to improve those through providing a good environment, maybe using some crossbreeding and things like that. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't develop selection tools for those because genetics does play a role, even though it's smaller than for some of the other traits.
You also talk with producers about some of the things that are kind of waiting in the wings or being rolled out in the near future. What's out there that will be added to the EPD lineup?
Sure. So for the American Angus Association, we will have a tenderness EPD rolling out very soon. That's one that we haven't probably focused on in our industry. We know it's important to consumers, but there haven't been good economic signals for us indicating that's something we should focus on. So it's a bit more altruistic, but we are developing an EPD for that. We're going to start diving into some of these EPDs that may be a bit more regional. A good example of that are some of our breeders who may be in the more mountainous areas concerned about high altitude disease. We're working on an EPD for pulmonary arterial pressure. We're working with folks here in Oklahoma and Missouri about figuring out some of these heat tolerance things, probably farther away from an EPD on that, but starting to try to understand that.
Tanya, for cattle producers, there are so many EPDs available today, and I know we've talked that there's more on the horizon, but for that cattle producer, how do they get their arms around knowing which ones are important for their operation? How do they bring everything together to come up with a decision of which bull is right for them?
So the answer is you need to have a very, very clear goal in mind. What is your market target? What kind of cattle do you need to produce to hit that target? And then focus on those EPDs that fit your market and your target. You don't need to use them all. We have them because there are people that need all of them, but you don't have to use them all. I would also recommend, especially for commercial guys, consider using an index. Those bioeconomic indexes that all the breeds have, American Angus Associations, are dollar values, dollar W and dollar B. That actually puts multiple traits together into one number that's really easy to interpret, but also marries up the economics behind those traits. So you're actually selecting for a more optimal profit rather than just increasing output.
So that really is a way that a guy can take a quick look and say, this bull provides more value to me than the second, bull A or B or C or whichever it is.
Absolutely. The dollar indexes are reported in dollars and cents, so you can interpret them in difference of profit per head for the progeny of those bulls.
I know there's been quite a bit of progress done, and there are, ways to be able to compare Angus to other breeds. We're seeing more and more of these things where we can start comparing Angus to Hereford or to Brangus or to Shorthorn, whatever that may be, right?
Sure, absolutely. Every year at the beef improvement meetings, the Meat Animal Research introduces the latest crossbreed EPD adjustments. And so the MARC website will have those. Our website has those. Every breed will have those crossbreed adjustments, which will allow you to take any other breed's EPD, essentially transform it to an Angus base, and then you can directly compare EPDs across breeds.
Finally, Tanya, where are we going with all the stuff we've got, all the technology we've got? What's the next two or three steps that you anticipate will be useful to the cattle industry?
Yeah, I think from our standpoint at the Angus Association, we continue to do a good job of managing those tools that are already in the toolbox and making sure they're working like they should and up to date like they should be. We're also going to start reaching out and trying to give some tools to our commercial customers that traditionally, if you think about trying to go select replacement heifers, for example, it was kind of the eye. Maybe you had some data on a dam, maybe you had some actual weaning weights, but having a really good distilled genetic selection tool, we haven't really had in the past. And so we are placing a lot of our focus in that realm and developing some of these actual genetic selection tools for commercial users of Angus genetics.